Now, stay tuned. We have the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show right here on KSCO.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Hey, Mrs. Future.
Hey.
Hey, there you go. Get that music down there. All right. Yeah, I wish I could say I'm super happy today, but we're evacuated for the second time in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this time.
But this is a little bit more genteel. I mean, this is a preventive evacuation so that the debris that is in danger of being dislodged by the heavy rains and wind that are coming don't take out any humans.
Sounds great, but we got our dirty clothes in the car. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the show.
Yeah,
we're actually in the studio today.
Wow, yeah, I was a little surprised because I heard there was a fallen tree like on Sunday or something.
Oh, yesterday. I couldn't get home yesterday. The mountains are really a joy lately.
Yes, well, when we first moved to Boulder Creek, one of our dear friends who lives there gave us the signature welcome to our town present. A chainsaw to get in.
That's the price of admission.
Yeah. Boulder Creek. And we keep a pair of gloves in the car and
generator.
Right.
You know, get a couple generators.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun cleaning up after the last windstorm. We took our, generator in the trunk of the car and took our leaf blower and cleared a half a mile of debris off the road.
We thought we'd be able to do the show from the house, you know, but no dice.
Oh, yeah. Did everybody notice last week was a rerun show?
Yes, yeah.
Bandwidth was down.
Yeah, we couldn't even depend on the bandwidth. So we just threw our hands in the air and said, well, Bruce Lipton is good for a rerun.
Yeah. Well, Bruce,
he was great. Yeah.
Bruce is worth listening to twice, at least.
Yes.
We have actually Dr. Tom Yurema on for the second hour for the show.
Oh, great.
Which is somebody I think you know pretty well, Bobby.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's an MD as well as a holistic health practitioner. And we're going to ask him some of those penetrating questions we have about COVID. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what he's up to in terms of how he's treating his patients and what he thinks of the current situation.
Yes.
The variants, et cetera.
And hopefully he'll have good things to say about our new level of freedom to not stay home that was announced this morning.
Yes. Oh, and just officially, we have evac'd from Boulder Creek because of what they call, quote, debris flow incident alert, close quote. Debris flow. That's for the areas that lost the forestation. They're subject to mudslides.
Yeah,
and we know that's
mudslides
a very real thing.
And trees falling and all kinds of road closures and emergencies that cannot be attended to because our poor first responders have too many irons in the fire, too many people calling them to help. So we're being asked to get out ahead of the storm and to make their lives easier because we won't be able to go back and forth if we stay.
One more thing for those of you, of our fellow SLVers who have evac'd, there are several discounted hotels in the area. Four Points, Sheraton Scotts Valley, Chaminade Resort and Spa. That sounds like fun. Hotel Paradox, Autograph Collection near downtown Santa Cruz. That's handy. Best Western Plus Inn in Scotts Valley and Best Western Seacliff Inn and Mission Inn. Okay, those are where you can evac to. So we got a caller, Mrs. Future?
Yes, we do. We've got Wendell in Reno would like to say something or other. Hi, Wendell.
Hi, Wendell.
Hi. What a privilege. I really, really totally love your program.
Thank you.
I have a request. I was wondering if there would be any possibility of you posting a gallery so I can see your faces, see what you all look like. Yeah.
Sure. Hey, if you go to the Dr. Future Facebook page, I think we've posted several pictures of ourselves there.
Dr. Future Show. Also, drfutureshow.com.
And drfutureshow.com.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't do Facebook. I'll try the futureshow.com.
Drfutureshow.com
is our website.
You can always just search for Dr. Future and you'll find us. You know,
yes.
Just if you don't remember the details.
And I have one last question and I'll let you go.
Yeah.
You play some of my very favorite music.
Oh.
And I've been dying to ask you guys this question. I don't know, about midway in your program, you go to a break. And just before you go to break, there's a chorus. It sounds like some female voices, and they sing this beautiful song with beautiful lyrics. Do you know the one I'm referencing?
Well, let's see. Female lyrics. Let's see. Which one would that be? Mama Gamma Remix. Let's see. Sirius, the Shiva Morphu. The Sky Is Yours. What do you say, Dr. Future? Ring a bell?
Sounded like The Sky Is Yours.
The Sky Is Yours, I think that's it. But you can also listen with an app, and it'll tell you what the song is, too. You know, there's Soundhound. It's an app that will...
Do you have Soundhound, Wendell?
On your phone.
No. Is that an app?
Yeah, it's an app, yeah. It's free, and you can aim the phone at the radio, and it will identify your music.
Oh, that's really wonderful to know.
Yeah.
Well, listen, God bless you all, and thank you for a wonderful, wonderful program each week.
Thank you.
And I hope you're able to go back to Boulder Creek and everything's well.
Thank you.
My daughter lives in Scotts Valley, and they had a tree come down in their yard.
Yeah.
And luckily, no one got hurt, and it didn't hit the building, but it wiped out about a third of their garden.
Yeah. And, well, tree really falling is a real hazard around here, but it goes with the territory.
Yeah.
If you love the woods, you got to realize trees fall down.
Yes. Well, at least we have our car down here. It won't hit that. You know, our house, of course, is still in danger, but we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Well,
we live out there.
Because we need your program, so stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendell. Appreciate the appreciation.
You have the most wonderful laugh.
Yes.
That's true. I'm pretty, I have that irrepressible optimistic spirit, and I think it carries the day, whatever else is going on. I can acknowledge the pain, but I'm happy to help to get beyond it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Bless your heart. Thanks, Wendell.
Thanks for listening.
And it's break time, so we will be right back. Hang tight.
Welcome back to the show. It is kind of ironic in a way that we lost power for several days last week up in the mountains here because of high winds. And yet, wind is the very thing that can generate electricity.
And yeah, here if you have existing, enough of it.
And in existing 20th century concepts of electricity, it takes it out. Isn't that ironic?
Everything in balance. The give and the take.
Yeah. And no, Richard, I don't think that's a good idea. He wants to tell our audience we have radio faces. That's why we don't have pictures.
Oh, well, we do have radio faces.
No, that's not true. Here's a face for radio, as we often say. But
we're not afraid to show it in public.
But, you know, actually, we are more video people, believe it or not. We actually like to create multimedia products.
It's true.
This is kind of fun for us to do.
Yes.
Purely audio.
Well, I identify as a storyteller and as a jokester, and words are my medium.
So this is your primary.
I'm very happy to be on radio. And when it came to video, we were generally the gearheads. You know, we were generally operating the camera and pointing them at the extroverted people who had all of those talents to share.
Yeah. And, you know, when we come down to the studio, this is like radio central here. People are not into video. Hardly at all.
Oh, MZ is the main proponent
yeah.
of wanting to go to video, and everybody here is like, no, we don't want to be on video. That's too many mediums. We want to focus on the stories.
Well, radio is a whole thing in and of itself, you know. It really is. One of the things I've learned from being here is that it is an art form, and it's worth putting your attention just on the audio.
Yes, because it is a live medium.
Yeah.
It is an interactive medium, and it's one of the most honest available mediums, at least when it is practiced as it is here at KSCO, where it's really an open voice for the community. You can find reliable truth here. You may feel it has a bias, but you can always call up and give us your bias to keep it all in balance. And that's what free speech is all about.
Mrs. Feature might cut you off, but hey, at least you tried.
No, I won't cut you off until after a few minutes of... If I get a sense that you haven't been listening to the show and you're just trumpeting something that takes us off course, then it's not a polite thing for you to do. So as politely as I can, I just try and steer it back to this conversation we're actually having.
That's right. Somebody calls in, skew left. Course
for
correct.
The most part, my goal skew is right, to usually, make sure yeah. that the yeah. show is informative and entertaining and inclusive, and that it's actually of value to everybody. So sometimes we have to make the call if people are fond of the sound of their own voice but not really adding anything to the conversation.
Absolutely. Right. I trust your judgment 100%, Mrs. Future. So does Bobby, right, Bobby?
Yes.
Okay. Please.
It's quite a responsibility, but I assure you I have deep compassion for all our callers and all our listeners trying to navigate that fine line.
Yes. Well, shall we do some of our stories?
I'm ready if you are.
Okay. Well, apparently we have our own California coronavirus variant. Did you hear about that?
Oh, can we give it a name?
Let's see. It's called Cal20C.
Hmm.
Cal.20C. You heard of this one, Bobby?
No, I just realized that today. I've been following the other variants out there. But
now, how do they determine variants, Bobby? Do they just like reverse engineer them? Do they just map them? Or what is it that gives us a variation on this code?
The ones that we're concerned about are ones that have protein mutations on the spike protein, because that's all these vaccines are targeting is recognition of that spike protein. So the one in England from the UK has one variant on the tip of the spike, which connects to the ACE2 receptor. So it makes it much more virulent. In other words, it likes to pass from one person to another much easier. So the R-naught rating is a little bit higher for that one. And so we haven't seen much of that here yet, but we will. That's what we're worried about. And then the South African one has three changes to that spike protein exactly at the ACE2 receptor site on the top of the protein. And that one's much more concerned. And also the Brazilian also has the three variants from South Africa also. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not
sure. These are little molecules that are attaching to a bigger molecule that's at the edge of a really tiny particle of a virus.
Well, what they are is on the virus, they have the spike proteins, but we're just talking about the very tip of it, the sharp end of that spike protein, and that's where it connects to the cell. And those variations make all the difference in whether these vaccines are effective against it or not. Apparently, they're still effective, but not as much.
Mm. So as they mutate more, they become less effective.
They could be. But Moderna came out and said that they're ready for these variations and they could make the second dose of the vaccine.
They got to update.
Updated, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed Fauci used the word update regarding the vaccine.
Like a software update. Yeah.
Oh, yes, let's just update the vaccine.
Now, I've been told that...
Wait for the update.
The things that are being called vaccines aren't vaccines in the original sense of the word, because the smallpox vaccine...
Well, let's talk to Dr. Yurema about that in the second hour, okay?
Okay, great.
Because, you know, that's a never-ending topic.
So I don't even get to finish my
sentence. Well, go ahead and finish it, Miss. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's my nature. Take a deep breath.
All right, so okay, go ahead. The question is the current injected remedy that you are getting from the Moderna and the Pfizer research that targets the spike of a virus, which has all of its own research issues. Yeah. Is that the same classification of thing as what the smallpox, quote, vaccine was, and which is protected by the pharmaceutical companies manufacturing them don't have liability for harm, for instance. The original smallpox being a inoculation of a less lethal form of the thing that's supposed to cause harm.
Yes, classically, you kill the virus and then present it to the immune system, and it says, oh, okay.
Right.
I will now kill this when I see.
So anyway, that's my question, is that where do you draw the line? What is it that makes a vaccine a vaccine? And we can ask Dr. Yurema in the second hour.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And any further thoughts on that, Bobby?
Yeah. There's a lot of treatments that they're calling vaccines.
Like the mRNA?
The monoclonal antibodies.
Oh, the monoclonal antibodies. Okay.
They just give you the antibody instead of the actual attenuated virus.
Right. Yeah. And that is my point, is that treatments are different than vaccines. And there are many treatments in addition to vaccines. And so if we misuse the word, then we're actually short-selling ourselves in terms of available options. So.
Yeah, it's a big educational process for everybody. I think the good part about all this is that we'll know more about how we work as an organism from dealing with such things as pandemics. I think that's ultimately a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this research is going to go into cancer and autoimmune diseases because
it's all
related to the immune system.
It's all connected, right? Immune system stuff. Yeah.
And so next year, if you have any of those problems, there'll be new treatments that was never used before.
So. Yes, yes, yes. I think so. And I think because more and more people are understanding the immune system, we're going to see all kinds of different people try out new ideas regarding it, how to enhance it or protect it.
Yeah.
You know, from engineers to teachers and as well as doctors. Your point of view might result in a new point of view on how to deal with the thing.
Yeah, I'm so interested in seeing how we learn from this pandemic, because we've been reporting on this show for a long time about how the introduction of computer intelligence and AIs being able to use the map of the human genome to pre-guess which types of treatments will be most effective, which ones will be the best match, because they can actually look at the chemical structures and suggest this will work better than that, right?
Mm. Right, right.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true.
We have a call. Are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's say hello to Andre from Scotts Valley. Hi.
Hey, Andre.
Hello. Hey, everybody. Got a question for all three of you if you want to answer. Do you remember about a year ago in April, somewhere around April, June, there was a news story that, I believe it was the Wuhan lab released the genetic code of the COVID-2 strain, whatever the original strain was. They released that to universities and different science hubs around the world, including UCSC or the UC system.
Yes, yeah, with the SARS-CoV-2.
The second week in January. So they released it very, very fast. They had it written up already, obviously, and decided to release it because they couldn't have figured it out that quickly.
So knowing that, do you think it's more likely that the original virus is mutating on its own, or these different institutions around the world are tweaking it and releasing it themselves so that the vaccines is ineffective and the population will drop like they want to do?
That'd be quite dastardly. What a story.
I mean, that could be happening. We don't know. I mean, it is possible that you could create these variants and accidentally release it to people around you, or send a certain person to England or send a certain person to South Africa with this variant.
It's definitely a good Hollywood script at the very least.
Yeah.
If it's really happening, it's a sad state of affairs for humanity. But
even though it's possible, I think the majority of people in medicine are really dedicated to healing, not harming.
Yeah.
Although there are those people who want to profit from it.
There is biological warfare people. There is that. And many countries have them. Trees with bells. Okay, welcome back to the show. I got another story here sent in to us from Gabby in New Jersey, a Wired story on how a number of people have been claiming that the vaccine made them sick and that their videos went viral. Wired has been investigating that, and apparently videos of people reporting disturbing side effects, then showing, looking like they have palsy on the show, on their Instagram and Facebook pages. And it's literally millions and millions of people have been seeing that. And it's unsettling because it's scary stuff. So Wired is investigating that, and so far it doesn't look necessarily real. It looks like people are having fun with that one, sadly. It's sad to say. It doesn't mean that all of these videos are fake, but it looks like a significant proportion of them might be. Anyway, it's an ongoing investigation.
Well, I think it comes down to people who believe in vaccinations know that for them it has caused the results they're looking for, and people who don't want to be forced to do it don't want to find out and shouldn't be forced to. Anyway, what were you going to say, Bobby?
Over the weekend, there was that one person from Placerville that got the Moderna vaccine.
Yeah.
And I think 3 hours later, he was rushed to the hospital, and he had heart palpitations, all kinds of things. And then he didn't make it. Yeah. He passed away in 3 hours. So that was a little concerning. And they weren't really sure what was the cause. They say most likely it wasn't the vaccine. But anyway, they're going to do a little research.
I wonder if he died of COVID. Sorry, that was cynical. Anybody who's dying of anything is supposedly dying of COVID. Sorry, I shouldn't be making a joke at such a serious point.
I know. Well, you're treating it like it's MSG. Just add it and you'll die faster.
But he had COVID 3 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
And he recovered.
Oh, he did? You know? Huh? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, he recovered. And then he got the vaccine.
Oh, I guess it was too late.
I think the vaccine looked so much like COVID that his body overreacted to the vaccine, my guess.
I've been wondering if that, I'm a little afraid, not really understanding how this new injectable works, but the idea that you're targeting a portion of the thing that causes your sickness instead of the thing itself is sort of misleading your body. It's sort of giving it information that isn't complete. And I wonder if it stimulates an over immune response that is actually like an allergy or a autoimmune issue, that instead of just fighting the disease properly, it actually throws your body into overload so that now your body is fighting itself.
There is a concern about that. I forget what they call it. It's an additive effect to the vaccine, an enhanced effect response. Mm-hmm. And so we won't know until many more people are vaccinated and see how they respond.
Yeah, we might not know anyway, because there's definitely a bias in the news towards giving us the pro-effectiveness news, and there's definitely a bias against giving us the anti-effectiveness news.
Except that there's a tremendous amount of fake news about the negative.
Well, there's that.
So we need to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff here.
Well, the fake news about the negative, if that wasn't the only acknowledgement that there's harm, maybe there would be a balanced conversation about it. But, this suppressing the real legitimate insights.
Well, there's also there's a lot of factors here. Think Venn diagram once again, because you're also dealing with people in positions of authority with this don't want to unnecessarily alarm already a very skitty population.
Great. Well, listen, I'm a big believer in informed consent. I see our friend Gabby is saying there's a published list of contraindications. That's very nice, very good to know. I think that it's very hard to know what you are and are not allergic to. As long as people have the right to say no if they don't want to say yes, then I am very comfortable that people are smart enough to figure out what's good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's, while we have a moment before someone calls more about this, I wanted to give you some good news in the medical world.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a very interesting article recently. I saw it in Futurism about how scientists have reprogrammed your fat cells to repair your bodily injuries. Your own fat cells can be turned into stem cells, and your fat cell stem cell can then be utilized for healing muscle, bone, cartilage, and blood vessels, even blood vessels.
I'm just imagining a whole new kind of stem cell-based Weight Watchers where you go in and it's like the Jetsons, you know, you get your fat cells traded in for muscles, bones, and collagen.
Would you give up a pound of fat for repairing your pounds of flesh? Yes, I would. Muscle, bone, cartilage. Now, this is still early research. It's still in the realm of experimenting with mice and animals, but it looks really promising that these smart stem cells from fat really do work. For damage to the physical damage to the body, they seem to work, for sure. It's fascinating. Anyway, we've got a caller, Mrs. Future. Bobby, you want to say something before we skew left?
They've been doing that a lot for sports injuries or knee injuries and spinal injuries. They found out that it's effective on spinal injuries if you do it very quickly, like right after the injury.
I see. And so timing is really important in these.
And what they do is they just liposuction your belly, and then they put it in a centrifuge, and they bring out stem cells out of there, and then they re-inject you with those. And they can do that within an hour. Yeah.
Huh. Can this be done in small clinics as well as?
Yes. Yeah. It's called a Magellan centrifuge. Those are like $10,000, though, for the centrifuge. But yes, doctors are doing it right now.
Huh. Yeah. So this is that like
and
similar to
prolotherapy? And what kind of conditions do you treat with it?
Is that similar to prolotherapy?
It's very similar, yeah. But now they're trying it on, they're going to try it on the brain. So people that have
the
strokes.
Brain, really?
Yes. It's caused new brain growth, especially people that have injuries, strokes, things of that kind. They can regain movement with their arms and
legs. So they're not using it instead of, say, Botox, right? Or they're not using it. Are they using it for instead of joint replacement? Are they using it instead of any other kinds of optional therapies that people have available?
Well, yeah, it's always better to get your own stem cells.
You don't have a rejection problem then.
Instead of replacing it with titanium or some other plastic.
Yeah. So, stick for your biological solution, not your
heal yourself.
Cyborg.
Heal yourself with a little help from your friends.
from your
local Prolo clinic friends.
This isn't just Prolo, though. Prolo's been around for a while. But I think this is a slightly newer thing. Good. Okay. One other comment from our peanut gallery out here. Thank you, Gabby. Yes. One of the things is that people who have a bad reaction to the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, often have allergies. Mm-hmm. And so to keep your epinephrine pen handy if you take it and be very conscious of that. People who have peanut allergies, for example, are very aware of this.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to be allergic to the vaccine, you probably have other allergies too.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think that's why they watch you for a couple hours, right?
Well, 20 minutes at least, depending on the
20 minutes? Yeah. And to make sure you don't react.
Right.
So we've had a caller waiting for a few minutes. Can we say hi?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say hi to Sean from Live Oak. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean. How you doing?
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to make a couple of comments on this, but I came across something else that I emailed you. But have you heard about this Wellington Sea Chanty that's really catching on?
Wellington Sea Chanty? No.
Well, I guess this one guy, it's sort of a multimedia thing. He put something on TikTok, and he sang the sea chanty, and other people added their own voices or instruments and reposted it. So now it's becoming a more and more complex piece of work, and it's really catching on.
kind of like the virus, or like Bernie from the inauguration. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
The 1,000 versions of Bernie sitting there with his mittens.
Yeah. Well, I sent that to you,
So the Wellington Sea Chanty. Okay, we'll see if we can find that. That sounds intriguing.
The other thing on the I'll call it a vaccine. I don't know if they've come up with another name for it.
Injection.
Yeah.
And that's even a nice general term.
Well, it's very accurate.
Yeah.
Well, it just seems like I'm not against using this approach, but it seems like we're fixating on one option. And it seems like, I know we've discussed, and I've discussed on your program before, is that we need to start making the indoors less virus friendly than they are now. You know, with the
how do we do that?
Well, the circulation system, right?
Yeah, with the circulation, UVC lighting, if that's safe for people to be exposed to.
Right. Yeah, the combination thereof. Yeah, air filtration and UV light.
And as far as our lockdown, is it maybe made some sense to go into lockdown when we're going into the cold and flu season, but it seems like we passed up our summer for people to gain natural immunity. So it seems to me like we're just fixated on the vaccine as the only way to address this problem.
That's such an interesting point of view, to say that if we had not been locked down during the warm weather, then we might have achieved a high level of immunity, because a lot of people would have been exposed in a way that wasn't particularly dangerous and have achieved herd immunity that way. I think I have never heard anyone express it quite that way. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, well, the other thing is that two things in the summer. One is you get more vitamin D naturally, being out in the sunshine. And the second thing is that if you do get the virus, it's a smaller viral load. Like, there's a big difference between getting infected by one single virus or a trillion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you, Sean. Yeah, yes. That's interesting points.
Yeah,
there.
Good points. And by the way, I forgot to go to a break, so thanks for that. And here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks a lot,
bye.
Sean. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Wasting my time in the waiting line. Do you believe in what you see? 9 to 5, living life.
And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He told me, ooh,
okay, welcome back to the show. Boy, do we have a lot of stuff we haven't covered and for the last few minutes.
I suggest you race through it because there's some really good stuff in there.
Okay, kind of do headlines. Yeah. And if you want to know more, just go to our links page. That's where they all are. Okay, so we also have a breakthrough in the first new clinical trial combining MDMA with LSD. MindMed, a psychedelic medicine biotech company in Europe, is doing their clinical trials on evaluating MD and LSD being used in combination with the human body.
I'm really glad that we've moved beyond the war on drugs to the scientific research of their use and
I think it's a winning combination, using an empathogen with a psychedelic, so it keeps you in your body and you're aware of bodily sensations simultaneously. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
We can trust ourselves with our true information and true health.
Absolutely.
Wasn't that combination called a candy flip?
Candy flipper.
Yes.
On
the,
rave scene.
What was that? Neuro.
Yes. That's right, Bobby. You're
there's
in San Francisco.
A website where you could look that stuff up.
Yeah.
Neuro something. Neuro.
Candy flipping.
Yes, candy flipping is common parlance for that combination.
Yeah, an amazing combination. I think anyone who's tried it agrees. Yes. Finally, some medical folks are doing research in this. Maybe there's something to it. Okay, we'll see. I say yes, they will find something positive there.
I think there is something to it, yeah.
Absolutely. Are you kidding?
Hey.
Now, in space news, SpaceX launched a record 100-plus satellites on a Falcon 9 rocket this last week. Amazing. 143 little spacecraft aboard.
They're accelerating their deliveries. They're sending more up every time. They were doing 60 last time, right? Last year?
Yeah, 60 was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Now it's 143. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them weren't for themselves either. It was for Planet, a group in San Francisco that are seriously photographing the Earth for sale. You know, it's a commercial company, so that if you want to buy satellites of your area, of your farm or your neighborhood, you can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's for real estate, you're saying?
It's for looking at the planet. Yeah, it's for higher satellite imagery for whatever purpose you might want to have.
Yes, your own commercial satellite service.
Yeah.
Not just for the big boys anymore.
Right, it's not just military anymore or or government science. It's affordable.
Anybody who's willing to pay enough to make it a business.
SpaceX is helping them with that plan, which is really cool. That's great. Another thing is that we have a first-time home hydrogen battery storage system from Australia that looks like it delivers three times the energy of a Tesla wall, right? Three times. And Tesla walls are pretty good. I think they're 13.5 kilowatt hours. So three times that. It's a rather chunky cabinet, but it sits on the side of your house and it stores excess energy as hydrogen.
Oh, well. Yeah. What could go wrong?
look, that whole thing with the blimp is just wrong, okay? I mean, that happened in the 30s. That was before we really had a deeper understanding of hydrogen as a fuel.
But how do you contain hydrogen?
In a canister? It's not any harder than anything else. It's a smaller molecule.
It's the smallest molecule. I think you have to contain it in some kind of a molecule. You have to combine it with something.
Well, they do that. They do combine it to make it a powder. Mm-hmm. And that's another form of storage besides compression. Mm-hmm. It's evolving. That's true. I mean, if it was easy, we would have had it already. It wasn't as easy as oil, but it's getting there. Mm-hmm. It's getting there. It's cheap and abundant. It's everywhere. Hydrogen is our friend, and it can serve us and the planet in amazing ways, and it already does. It's already part of just about every living thing.
Absolutely. So, it's the size of an electron.
Don't underestimate hydrogen. It's the core ingredient of the sun itself.
Oh, I would never.
Yeah. It's one. It's number one on the periodic table.
And it's number one in terms of all the molecules of matter in the universe. It's 90-some-odd%.
That's right. So that's in the news. Hydrogen battery. Oh, there's a really cool video of a drone disguised as a hummingbird.
Oh, thank you so much for sending us that, Richard. Richard Cray sent us that wonderful video.
Oh,
that
amazing.
Was the highlight of our research this week, is seeing that.
You'll literally be taken inside a monarch swarm where they're swarming all around you. The drone looked like a hummingbird. They don't mind hummingbirds. They're both hummingbirds and monarch butterflies both like sap. So they know each other. Mm-hmm. And they designed the drone so that it was super safe. You could land on it.
Right. Yeah. They hooded the little drone rotors behind the hummingbird statue wings.
He's very cute.
And there were moments where butterflies were actually landing on the hummingbird, trying to relax for a minute.
And there are periods in time when the butterflies suddenly swarm, and to suddenly see them do that right up close like that. It's just stunning. Thanks to nature on PBS for that footage.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm watching it now. It's mesmerizing. It's amazing that hummingbird looks like a hummingbird, but it's got the two rotors on each of the wings, and it looks like a wing instead of rotors. Yeah. Wow, it's just amazing.
I call it super small.
Yeah.
And then Gabby's just texting me about how she and her daughter just saw some super large drones in southern Jersey. So drones are coming out more and more. I think we'll probably see the Amazon ones before much longer. Delivery drones start to happen. Yeah. I would like to have a drone on my property up in the Boulder Creek here. It'd be nice just to go out on the deck and take off in the event of a forest fire.
Oh, yeah. You've been wanting one of those for a while.
Goodness.
Like a volocopter, maybe.
Not so great tonight, given it's a windstorm. You don't want to come up on a windcraft.
Oh, my goodness. If you get a volocopter, I am not fetching it after a windstorm. If it blows off the deck, you are on your own.
Well, those things are sophisticated enough that they have a little thing on their remote says RTH on it. RTH.
Return to home.
That's right, Mrs. Future. You know your drone pilot code. That's very good. Yes, and also when you return home, don't forget to put on your FPV.
First person viewer.
Yeah, that's right. Very good. Ding, ding, ding. First person view goggles. It's not VR. It's FPV goggles for looking through your drone's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that we have that's kind of entertaining, you can meet the people paying $55 million to fly to the space station. There's a handful. there's a very exclusive club. A very exclusive club, yes. Yes, and you can meet them in this article.
That's one power poker night, man.
$55 million for a flight to the space station. That's what it costs in 2021. Pretty cool. if you have $55 million, I don't know if I, you know, that's your best use of your money, but you'd have to be really rich where it wasn't a big deal.
Yes, but you also have to see it as being an ardent supporter of the commercial space programs, right? I mean, the first passengers are really funding the research and the development of that industry.
Yeah, I suppose if the money goes to the R&D people,
yeah,
that would be good.
You would think it wouldn't cost Elon Musk $55 million because he's supplying the ship, right? To get there, the Dragon.
Well, Elon Musk says he's going to charge something like $250,000 for a one-way trip to Mars. So, yeah, he's, you know. But you have to wait until the crowd is going to Mars with you.
Yeah, I would say it's probably at least 10 years before we can buy a $250,000 ticket to Mars. He's trying to make it the cost of an average suburban home in America.
Mm. Yeah, right.
Which is considerably less than it is here in California.
Considerably less.
Yeah. Wait, both of us could go.
If we sold our shack in the woods.
Yeah,
okay.
The prices keep going up. We'd be able to buy a return ticket.
Oh, boy.
To Mars and back.
Oh, boy.
$1 million for both of us.
I hope so.
Yeah. Boy, isn't the future grand?
It is. Well, if we wait long enough, we might only want a one-way trip, you know?
Might want to come back.
Come back, you know, if it's 30 years from now, I'm sure we'll take one scenic trip around the solar system. That
COVID,
sounds fun.
COVID variation number 26B. No, I don't think so.
And you get vaccinated, and I'll just stick with vitamins, okay?
What planet are you on? Oh, that's right, you are. You're on Mars. You're allowed to say that.
Hey, guess good what? Time to tell people what's coming up in the next hour.
Yes, Dr. Tom Yarema is a local MD who is also a holistic health practitioner and has incorporated many alternative therapies in his understanding as a doc. So it should be very interesting to talk to him about the virus and all that it means to us.
Yes, and I am going to say hi real quick. Sorry to make you wait so long, Norma Jean. Last 30 seconds. This is KSEO Santa
Norma
Cruz.
Norma Jean, we love
so
you.
Nice to hear from you.
I'll wait for you anytime, honey.
Aw, thanks, sweetie. All right.
You're starting a business. I want to announce my new business on your show, darling.
Oh, okay. Well, we... Go right ahead. Do it.
Or call next week.
10 seconds or call next week.